tries to reason from the existence of God to the existence of nature. Mm-hmm. Well, the rogue goes in the opposite direction. Second objection, that was an either-or argument, right? Mm. Either you argue from authority or you argue from reason, and if you argue from authority, that seems to be below the dignity of this science, seems to be the infirmissimus, the most infirm. And if you argue from a reason, this does not fit the end. Faith has no merit, as Gregory says, for human reason is experience. And to second, Thomas replies, it should be said that to argue from authority is most proper to this teaching, right? In that the beginnings of this teaching are had by revelation. And thus it is necessary that one believes in the authority of those to whom revelation has been made. Okay. That's interesting. Maxime proprium, right? Okay. I should sit down sometime with the Enchiridion Symbolorum, right? Some similar thing, which has a collection of all of the authoritative, the most authoritative, you might say, pronouncements of the Church and the councils down through the centuries, right? About all the things that pertain to the faith and so on. And I remember, you know, Karl Rahner talking about, you know, this Denziger theology and all that. Well, here Thomas is saying, to argue from authority is most proper to this teaching, right? Huh? Denziger, you know, the editors or the publishers, where it is, didn't create a simple norm. But that's what theology should be, Denziger theology. You don't do that only, but okay. Nor, he says, does it derogate to the authority or to the dignity, the worth of this teaching, for although the place from authority which is founded upon human reason is most weak, as the great Boethius was saying there, nevertheless, the place from authority which is founded on divine revelation is most what? Efficacious, because he can neither deceive nor be deceived, right? But nevertheless, sacred teaching uses also what? Human reason. Not in order to prove the faith, because by this would be taken away the merit of faith. That's referring back to what Gregory was saying in the objection to that side of the either-or. But to manifesting some other things which are treated in this what? Doctrine. So I suppose you could reason from Christ being both God and man to Mary being the mother of God. Okay. Although it seems like they're going the reverse way. He denied that she should be called the mother of God. Then you're going back, right? They seem to be denying another article of the faith then. And those are stories. So they discovered him. Huh? For since grace does not take away nature, but perfects it, it is necessary that natural reason, right, be subservient to faith, right? Just as the natural inclination of the will follows what? Charity, huh? So why do they say charity begins at home? Is that true? Right? Mm-hmm. So there's an order in charity, right? Okay. Whence the apostle, meaning, of course, by Antonin Maccia, St. Paul, says in the second epistle to the Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 5th verse, putting into captivity, right? I'm reminded of what he said to the, I'll make you fishers of men, right? That's kind of captivity, right? To the fish. Capture fish, huh? Mm-hmm. Every intellect in the service of what? Christ, huh? So, we've been taken captive. And hence it is that sacred teaching also uses the authorities of philosophers, right? Where, through natural reason, they were able to know some what? Truth, huh? So the authority of Thomas kind of rubs off on what Aristotle are. Okay. But notice, you know, it's important to see, huh? When you say that the usefulness of Aristotle's philosophy and theology is a sign of the truth of that philosophy, right? But we don't say that Aristotle's philosophy is true because it's useful in theology. That's a sign that it's true, right? But it's useful in theology because it is true. Mm-hmm. Okay? He gives an example as Paul in the Acts there induces the words of Aratus saying, and as some of your poets said, huh? We are of the genus of God. Huh? Made in the image and likeness of God. Huh? But now he's going to make some more distinctions here. But nevertheless, sacred teaching uses these authorities of the philosophers as extraneous arguments. Mm-hmm. That's important what he says there, right? And what? Mm-hmm. Probable ones, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. But it uses the authorities of canonical scripture properly, right? Arguing from necessity, okay? And then in the middle, the authorities of the other doctors of the church arguing from what is proper to argue, but with what? More probability there. Of course, you know, when the church says, you know, the mind of Augustine on grace is the mind of the church on grace, it takes on, you know, an extra authority there. For faith rests upon our faith, rests upon the revelation made to the apostles and to the prophets who wrote the canonical books, not to the revelation if it was made to some other what? Doctors, huh? And he quotes great Augustine there. Whence Augustine says in the epistle to Jerome, only those, what? Books of scripture which are called canonical. What does the word canon mean?
List.
Measurable.
Measuring is what he had, yeah. Okay. So these are the ones that measure us, huh? I've learned to bear this honor, right, to those books, right? That no author of them in writing erred, right? I most firmly believe this, right? Others I read, but no matter how much they, what, stand out for their holiness and their teaching and so on, not thus do I think true, because they, what, so held and wrote. Yeah? Okay. Okay. Of course, somebody like, you know, Augustine or Thomas has got a great deal of authority behind them, you know, now. You look at the Catechism of the Catholic Church.